You're listening to a Stranger podcast, www.thestranger.com.
Hi, this is Jen Graves, and I am the art critic for The Stranger. This is The Stranger's conversation in people in art with people in art called Invisible, and I'm here at Seattle Art Museum with Nick Cave. Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How long have you been in Seattle?
I've been in Seattle for, this will be my second week.
Okay. And these suits had to be groomed in some cases. We're here, the opening of your show is coming.
Yes.
Like tomorrow.
It is. Like tomorrow, yeah.
Like tomorrow, and we're at the press preview. And so, how was some of that time spent grooming?
A very short time was spent grooming. Rest of the time was spent just sort of really getting them, pulling them out of the crates and out of these sort of structural sort of boxes that they all come in.
Are they generally two pieces?
It depends. Two, three, the most. But they're pretty easy to install.
Are any of them just one?
Well, you know, the body is a piece. And then there's a piece that goes on top, so it's always two.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And this show includes works from the earliest sound suit, the first sound suit, right?
Not the earliest.
Oh, no.
You know, there's one that was early, but is now has been sort of reconstructed and is now sort of new.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And that's the one that's in the other side of the galleries, along with some other newer works?
That's that one right there.
Oh.
With the sweaters and...
What is the story of the ancestor? When Pam McCluskey, the curator, was talking about
that was... The first one was in 92, the Rodney King incident.
Yeah.
So that was the first one was a twig suit.
Right.
The suits over there are, you know, the newest sort of twig suits that are informed by the first one.
Okay. So that was the first twig suit, but not the first sound suit.
Right.
Okay. This is the first sound suit.
Well, it is... being reincarnated.
Right.
But, yeah.
The reincarnation of the
first sound suit.
Okay. And okay. I should say for people who aren't here that it's when you walk into the largest room in the center, it's the second one on the right.
Exactly.
To tell people. And so what about the new works? How do you see the movement? You know, the kind of, because to people who are just going to come fresh, they're going to see, I think first of all, they're just going to, their eyes are going to be sort of, you know, transported out of their heads. Sounds exciting and kind of gross, but then, you know, the subtleties will probably start coming out. I mean, I'm hoping and expecting this will happen for me too, you know, that the first time I see them I'm sort of overwhelmed.
Exactly.
And then I start coming back. How are you looking at the trajectory between, you know, something that early or some of the other early works and the pieces that are brand new? There are 10 new suits in this stop,
in this exhibition
on the tour, which is the only place where there are 10 new works,
right,
which is really exciting. So tell me about that. I mean, how do you see them moving? Are there differences?
Well, no, you know, I think that, you know, the work still comes out of the same sort of undercurrent, and that is that, you know, it's about hiding race, gender, class, and forcing you to look at the work without judgment. So that really is sort of the sort of foundation and the continuing sort of link within, sort of tying the work together. I think this, as well as me still sort of very much interested in this notion of looking at and responding to this abundance of surplus that's in existence that really is... at our fingertips, and also continuing to regurgitate those kind of efforts, and to force again this sort of transformation of material to this new hierarchy, which is always, again, continues to be a very political and critical sort of component within the work.
Is it this new hierarchy? That's interesting. What new hierarchy?
Well, it's me sort of really sort of toying around with ideas around low craft, high art. That's what I mean.
And are you associating those with undermining conventional notions of race, class, gender?
I think all of that, I think it becomes a...
sort of implicit.
Yeah, I think it, you know, it becomes this sort of substitute for that. It's me sort of looking at, you know, this discarded materials as well as one may look at how we sort of function mm-hmm. on a conscious level. I mean, it's a lot of consciousness in the work.
Are you performing this in this location? You're not performing here, right?
I'm not performing here, but they are performing.
Right. They'll be performed more than 20 times. But how does it change when you aren't performing them? I mean, how much of the suits are still about your desire?
Well, I think the suits themselves sort of remain very central to what my beliefs are.
Just standing still.
As a form. I mean, in that video, I'm in some of those, but the suit itself has its own sort of identity. So what changes is individuals wearing the suit. Somebody that may be coming from a structured, sort of trained, sort of performance background as opposed to someone that comes from a more of an experimental improvisational background mm-hmm. is going to bring a different sort of flavor, or somebody coming from theater. But that's what's interesting for me is that there's always this sort of ongoing.
And you don't give instructions?
No, not when I'm willing to sort of let go. And mm-hmm. also what that does for me, it puts me in a position to become a critic of my own work, which mm-hmm. I'm interested in too. And so it becomes a lab of sorts, this sort of opportunity for me to sort of respond to movement, to respond to choreography.
Mm. And the way the suits play into it?
Yeah.
What kind of critic are you of your own work? Tough?
I'm a very tough critic, yeah. Mm.
What are your complaints?
Complaints when it doesn't have the conviction. But it's never in a show if it doesn't have that anyway.
So mm-hmm. You start
it doesn't
there.
Even leave my studio.
Right.
Yeah, so.
That's funny. How many, do you have any of these just sort of standing around in your studio at this time?
Absolutely not.
No.
In the studio, you know, we build the work and then we take it down to the photo studio. We shoot, photograph the work, and then it goes out. Never see it ever again.
Okay. You make drawings?
I don't draw at all.
Don't draw at all. Just start right out with the material.
It's the material that sort of provokes ideas, and mm-hmm. it's where the impulse comes from. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, and that sort of starts me on to this sort of amazing journey mm-hmm. in terms of, you know, what do I envision, mm-hmm. you know, from this core.
And do you put them on while you're making them?
No, only when they're finished.
Only when they're finished. Mm-hmm. Okay. And how are the mannequins personal at all? Are they scaled to you?
They're not personal, and they are pretty much scaled to me, but it's a commercial mannequin that I can buy.
Just a regular one. Mm-hmm. You just pick the size or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Cool. And is there any way that somebody can perform these wrong?
The only way that you can perform in these wrong is if you don't bring conviction.
Mm. So you're sort of hesitant.
That's the only way that you can perform in the wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, if you bring conviction, then I'm convinced.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, then
no matter what,
I'm no longer. Well, I can't make that transition. It's a person in a suit and not a being.
Mm-hmm. Mm, I see.
You know,
right,
so
right,
it's
right,
a
right.
big difference mm-hmm. in that sort of. It's really about. You know, your willingness to surrender and move yourself into this sort of transformative space.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of work.
Is there, I bet, some of these are like, what's the tallest?
Oh, well, it depends. Well, this is not the tallest. The tallest is not even in the show.
This one's got to be 20 feet high?
Probably, no.
15?
No, probably about 12.
12?
Yeah.
How come everything is taller than I think it is? Or shorter than I think it is?
You think it's
on the
platform,
I must feel small.
Too.
What? I also wanted to ask you, this show coming right on the heels of Picasso, obviously has gotten mentioned a couple of times,
mm-hmm.
and in some ways these works can be looked at as a critique of institutional display, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that you are aware that constantly that these can be activated and touched, and that they have human, like literally pieces of human skin, tiny little pieces on the inside of them, right? Whereas other objects in a museum are sometimes literally physically sterilized in order to be accepted into a museum. So is there any critique? Are you doing any of that work? Playing with any of that?
Well, I think I am playing with a lot of it. I think it's you know, I sort of, like when I'm doing research, it's like when I go to the Museum of Natural History and I'm looking at these amazing artifacts, that are vestments and ritual ceremonial costumes from around the world, but yet forced to look at them as an object mm-hmm. or a sculpture. And so how that sort of shifts my sort of way of reading mm-hmm. the work and the sort of replacement of these objects. So I'm interested in the dual sort of role there mm-hmm. and the multiple sort of and areas around performa mm-hmm. within the context of that type of work.
Museums and, you know, you mentioned the word performa, so I'm going to bring it up, the festival in New York. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of emphasis on performance. So the Guggenheim had Marina Abramović, right. And then MoMA had Marina Abramović, and then, you know, so there's all the Tino Segal, and what do you think that's about? What is this in this contemporary moment where performance is like now de rigueur? Do you have any
idea? I think right now, I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, how do we sort of continue to sort of reshape the institution? What do we do to sort of, again, continue to allow it to sort of unfold and look at the other sort of mediums that we're working in? Mm-hmm. You know, we're not all just painters, sculptures. You know, one who does prints, but we're doing video, we're doing performance, we're doing spoken word, and we're also in this sort of transinterdisciplinary sort of arena where we're multitasking. We're not singular artists working in one mm-hmm. sort of medium. We're sort of broad.
You're calling yourself a trans artist.
And mm-hmm. I'm not calling myself that at all. I'm just sort of
saying.
It's on
the wall. Sorry.
It's just that, you know, we're working in these sort of multiple ways. The same way in which I think the world is sort of evolving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Museums just have to respond
in
a certain sense.
You know, right. I mean, when you think about, you know, the economy, it's like, you know, people are now sort of taking jobs that really had nothing to do with their sort of education mm-hmm. or very different than the work that they were mm-hmm. trained in. So mm-hmm. there's this constant shift of re-identifying ourselves. And I think, again, it's about the economy. It's about, you know, what do we need to do to sort of facilitate and how do we get people into these institutions mm-hmm. that can help mm-hmm. move us forward yeah. and to change our sort of way of looking at art and the economics around it, I think.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of things.
And I'm also wondering about hiding as a form of highlighting, right? Mm-hmm. So sort of throwing what we might expect into disarray in some way by substituting it with all these things that are so colorful and make really like baffle the brain and the eye. So there's this like baffling that's going on. Is it also a way of, you know, of like having conversations? Have these pieces been for you or for any of the audiences you've experienced like good doorways for talking about race, for talking about class, talking about gender?
Oh, I think so. I think that there's a lot of nostalgic sort of that's connected to a lot of this work.
Nostalgia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In terms of objects, there's a lot of and I think what happens too is just, you know, there are moments where, you know, when I'm in my own exhibitions, no one knowing that I'm the artist, and to be able to sort of wash this sort of interface between people among themselves that really don't know each other, but there is a common link that they can sort of connect to that sort of allows them to have this sort of collective sort of experience. Mm. So I like that there is this sort of imaginary sort of state of mind to be able to what if, or this reminds me of, again, so we sort of, you know, it's contemporary, but yet it can pull us back or it can pull us forward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Into this imaginary space.
Yeah.
Thank you. I know you got a lot of people to talk to, but this
has
been fun.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much for listening. I'm Jen Graves. This is Invisible.